Ching ching, bling bling, let's cut the chatter. In today's episode, if you build it, success will come. Welcome to the Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else podcast. I'm your host, David Tucci, an educator, a father of three. Join me as I take you on a funky journey through life, from a reckless young man to a humbled older man. Each week, I will offer different insights on my life experiences and the experiences of others and how that has shaped our present day realities. So let's begin our funky journey into improving our health, wealth, and you guessed it, everything else. Welcome to the TNT Sports Investing Podcast, where we talk wealth, health, everything in between. I'm your host, David Tucci, and today I want to talk about the tools necessary for long-term success. So if you build it, if you build your toolbox, success will come. Before we get into it, I want to recap last week's episode, where we discussed having the right mindset and shifting our paradigm. So if you have any questions or comments or ideas for future episodes, I want you to reach me at Twitter. It's at DavidTNT3, at DavidTNT3, or you can DM me on Instagram at TNT Sports Investments. And I've already been asked why I have the number 3 on my Twitter handle, and there's a reason for that. I'm the third of 3 boys, so it's an important reminder to me that I had to scrap and claw for everything when I was a kid. I was never able to play with the older guys, and I knew that that fueled my competitiveness. And just to share a little story, I remember when I was in grade 9, this is going way back, so I'm from Canada. I know people, if you're listening in the US, you say 9th grade, we say grade 9. So my older brother was in grade 13, or was called OAC, Ontario Academic Courses or Credits, whatever it was. Anyway, so I'm a high schooler, grade 9, looks were important. Wake up in the morning, I do my normal routine, had long hair, and I wanted it nice and wavy, so I'm under the sink, wetting my hair. My older brother comes into the bathroom, and he hits me on the shoulder. And he says, Dave, hurry up, you gotta go. I said, I'm doing my hair, you can wait till I'm done. So my head is like halfway in the sink. Again, he hits me on the shoulder. He says, hurry up, I need the bathroom. I said, I'm using it, get out of here. So I continue on. 5 seconds, not even 5 seconds pass, he hits me harder on the shoulder. I get up, I stand up, I'm livid, I'm fuming. I look at him right in the eye, I make a fist by my waist, turn, and I crack him right in the chin with my front two knuckles, a nice right cross. He looks at me stunned. His eyes go wide, and then his legs buckle, and he drops right to the ground. And when I saw that, that's it. I just took off. I beelined out of there. And, you know, I stood up for myself. That's what I'm trying to say. So if you're in that same situation, you got to stand up for yourself. So whoever's listening out there, what I want you guys to do is share, if you want to share your story, if you have a story like that, again, you can DM me or share it on Twitter, and I'll share it on the show. So I just want to thank you guys for indulging me while I shared that story. So now I need a break a little bit from that. So I'll be back. Thanks for sticking with me. Now let's get into the recap of last week's episode, and just to highlight a couple items. First thing we talked about was having a long-term approach. That's essential. You really don't want to be a gambler. And I'm going to share a story again later in the episode about what it's like the emotional roller coaster that you go on. So a long-term approach, that's what you want, and you got to treat it as a business if you want to be successful. Because there, like I said, there's a lot of variance in the short term. I was watching a documentary about Chris Moneymaker. He was the 2003 World Series poker champ. He was the main event champ. That's when poker took off. After he won it, it just was huge. Anyway, before that, in his college days, he was a gambler. He gambled on sports. And just to show you how detrimental it can be, in short term, he made $60,000 and lost $60,000. I don't know how you can stomach something like that. So we're talking a few months. He made $60,000, then gave it all away, and then some. That's the problem. And that can't be healthy for your mindset. It just can't. Don't put yourself through that. Mitigate the risk with proper strategies, because that's how you're going to be successful long term. Even hedge fund managers, that's their whole gig. They got to mitigate risk. They hedge against risk. So there's nothing wrong with making small gains over a long period of time. It's not sexy, I get it, but it's effective. And you're going to be relatively stress-free. The second item I discussed was tracking your wagers. I can't tell you how important of a strategy that is. Remember, keep in mind, this is if you want to be serious at this. You want to treat it with the respect it deserves. Create a spreadsheet. Categorize it based on your specific sport. Allocate no more than 200 units. 1% of your allocation should be your base bet. And that would be with a proper money management system. So as sports start to begin, so they're going to start beginning now. I know NBA starting, NHL is going to be starting up through this pandemic. Baseball is going to be starting. I'm going to be sharing the spreadsheet that I'm going to be doing. And what I do is I do it on a base $10,000 portfolio, and I will allocate units accordingly. So if I allocate 100 units for a baseball system, that's going to be $1,000. So if I put a base bet of 1% of that $1,000, it's going to be a $10 play. Again, if you had a $100,000 portfolio, you can see how in the long term how it works. It doesn't matter the value. What matters is the percent and what you're comfortable allocating within your budget. That's going to be important. So if you don't understand what I'm talking about right now, perhaps seeing the visual is going to help when I start posting the games. And the third thing we discuss as the recap kind of overlaps with number two. We talk about asset allocation. Diversify your portfolio by subdividing your units. So again, if you have a $10,000 portfolio, 100 units allocated per system is good, 200 max, and you'll have a few systems going at once. But if one of your system goes belly up, you're still in the game and you're doing it stress-free. So that was kind of like a quick recap of last week. Let's get into this week. How do we get to the level of success that we need? So let's talk about tools to succeed. The first thing that I like to do, and many of you who gamble on sports do this anyway, is research. You have to research whatever it is you're betting on to make sure that you're making the right decision possible or the best decision possible. So websites, and there's a lot of free ones out there. I'm just going to give you an idea of some of the ones that I use. If you haven't heard, there's a website called pregame.com, and you get a lot of understanding where the tickets are, who's betting on what game, with the majority, the most publicly bet game. So for something like that, for pregame, I like to use what I call fade the public. So we go against the majority, and that's why I use pregame, because you can see those high ticketed games. Another good one is oddsportal.com. It's great for odds of all sports from all different books. Another one is CFBstats.com. So I'm going to delve into this one a little bit. Basically, it's collegefootballstats.com. So when college football starts, we created a system called, I call it Commer, short for Kings of Mount Rushmore. Basically, it is a rushing supremacy system. You take the dominating rushing team, rushing offense, with the dominating run defense, and a team defense that doesn't give up more than 21 points per game. That's our criteria, and we use it with home and away splits. So if Michigan's at home, I take Michigan's home stats, their run defense at home, their total defense at home. So that's a good website to really break that down specifically. Last year, this system came down about 2% of our overall portfolio. However, that was with standard tracking. I could get a little bit complicated, but sometimes what we do is hedge the games while we bet them, because there's live betting now. Live betting is becoming big, and again, mitigating the risk. So with hedging our positions last year, we came up. But I don't track that for the transparency of the system. I send out the plays, so I do all the homework. On Sunday night, I start filtering for the college games for the week later. And generally, there's about 85 college games per week. The system filters out about 3 to 4 games. It's not a lot. So if I get my selection and the team is a favorite, I bet it immediately. Because I remember about a couple years ago, I think 2018, Michigan was a 27-point home favorite on the Monday. So kickoff was Saturday. By kickoff, the line moved to 34 points. So there's a lot of opportunity there if you want to take profits or look for arbitrage opportunities. You can do that. And normally, you can see a lot of games that move 3, 4, 5 points. In this case, that's a big jump. That's a 7-point jump. Anyway, the end result was, we ended up hedging, but the end result was Michigan didn't even cover 27. So they didn't even cover the opening line. So that's what this system's good for. You could get all the statistics right away on Sunday night. Sometimes lines don't even come out on Sunday night. You got to wait till Monday. If your selection is the underdog, we wait for kickoff. So if I have a selection on Monday, and it's an underdog, I got to wait to actually put my wager in until I wait till kickoff on Saturday. But if it was a favorite, I would put it in right there. And then once that line comes out, and then you see how you benefit from the line movement. Sometimes there are rare cases where it moves against you. It is what it is, and you don't sweat it. You just set it and forget it. So again, I'm going to post the Google spreadsheet on Twitter and on TNT Sports Investments on my Instagram. So for Commer, for the Kings of Mount Rushmore, I wait till week 5 because you need statistics. You need a nice sample size. So it'll be good to see once you see how the mechanics all work. So let's move on to number 2. We have market selection. So what you have to do is with market selection, select a market that you're comfortable with. So basically, pick the sports that you know and enjoy doing your research. Whatever parameters you set, stick to them. Also, don't overbet. Overbetting is a great way to reduce your stack. It's inevitable. So try not to overbet. It takes discipline. Too many people just bet because they want to see some action. And again, that's not why we're here. We're here for the long-term approach. For example, we use a system in the NBA where we play the under in a game. We have parameters. How do we get there? We stick to the parameters that we've set out, which would be if 60% or more of the public is on the over and the total moves down 1 point or more, we take that game because we have the public betting on the over, but for some reason, the line drops. So that triggers something, something suspicious here. So we like to play that kind of fading the public, and it's been successful. And we wait till tip-off, about 5 minutes before, and then we put in our selection. And if the line changes, if it goes back to what the original total was, we don't make a play. There's no forcing. The problem for many gamblers is that they just don't want to go through the grind. It's not exciting. It's boring. And that's understandable. Who'd want to go through a grind? It takes patience and it takes work. And many just want the big payoff. That's why they're betting. I spoke to a guy who said the same thing. He was, I like what you're doing. I just can't do that. I need to bet more. He said, I enjoy the action. Well, that's all well and good. But inevitably, he's going to go bust. His bankroll's going to be done because we've been there before and we've done that. And that's what happens. So if that's your thing, that you want action, have a fun money account. So you put, let's say, just arbitrarily, let's say you put $1,000 aside as your quote-unquote fun money. So if you feel like putting $500 on a game, go for it. And there's no big deal. If you win, great. If you lose, it's okay. It's your fun money for the year. You set aside. So if you lose that $1,000, that's it. You're done. No more arbitrarily putting a game that you think is, we love saying this, a lock. Everybody says that they have a lock game. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. So if you have a fun money account, it kind of like scratches your itch to put more than what you're accustomed to on a game. Great. Maybe by the end of the year, your fun money account has done better than all your systems. And that could happen too. But remember, as fast as you win, like Chris Moneymaker winning 60 grand and losing it, that's what could happen. You could lose it just as fast and then more, because then the emotional and the psychology starts to play on your brain. Again, how do I know? Experience. I've been there. Okay, so the last tool for success that everybody needs in their toolbox is money management. This, in my opinion, is the most important. It's by far the greatest tool needed to save someone from themselves. That's essentially what you're doing. There are many times someone will have a win rate of over 50%, but their bankroll is down. Why? I'll tell you from experience again. It goes something like this. Just for argument's sake, let's say someone does their homework, they like their selection, they place a $50 bet on a game, and it wins. They feel good. Confidence is high. Research, they did their research. They knew what they were doing. They won. They rinse and repeat. They go on a little bit of a winning streak. Now your confidence is brewing. Say you win five in a row. The greed starts to kick in because you know that your homework and your research and everything you're doing is the right call. So you start to say, you know what, I'm feeling good. I'm on a little bit of a winning streak. I have a good system going. My research is solid. So you say, you know what, I'm going to kick it up to $100. Let me play $100 here. And you do that. You win a little, lose a little. You're hitting around maybe 65% of your games. And in that short-term stretch, you're making some money. And again, confidence is brewing. Research is solid. You feel like, you know what? This is working at $100. Let me start to push the envelope a little bit. I'm going to put $200 a game. Perhaps at $200, it's going well. Until inevitably, and it will happen, the losing streak kicks in. And there's games that you're on the right side. You get a bad beat. It happens all the time. It happens in poker. Everybody could tell you a poker bad beat. Everybody could tell you if they gamble and bet on sports, they get a bad beat. And that's the whole point of a long-term approach. If you have the right money management, it doesn't matter if you take a bad beat. It's just part and parcel of the deal. But what happens when you're a gambler? You go on a bad losing streak. Now you're like, okay, this can't continue. This losing streak can't continue. I got to make So you've lost what you've made because you've increased your betting size. And now you're going to say to yourself, this is the games that you play. I can't keep losing. So let me put $500. Guess what? Losing continues. So you start saying to yourself, you start questioning yourself. And then you get to a point of desperation, which could happen. And you say, okay, I'm going to bet, for example, $1,000 on this game, and which is way outside your comfort zone. Way outside your comfort zone. And you say to tell yourself, if you win, you're never going to get in this situation again. And then if you say, and then you say to yourself, if I lose, that's it. I'm never betting again. Well, that's the whole point of the money management. You want to avoid this type of stress. So I remember there was a movie with this Keanu Reeves played in a movie, Hardball, with this kind of theme where he was stressed. He couldn't even watch the game. His buddy was telling him the score. It was a Chicago Bulls game, and he needed a free throw or something. He ended up winning the game, but you could see how stressful he was. So if you want to check it out, it's called Hardball, and it was from 2001. And I remember that scene specifically. I don't remember much about the movie, but I remember that scene when he was outside a sports bar and peeking in the window, and he couldn't watch because he had so much money on the game. You don't want that. That's not how you want to be participating in sports investing. That's gambling. So that's what we're trying to avoid. And I was like that. And I'm going to share a story. I remember in the 1996 NHL playoffs, I did some homework on this because some of the memories were foggy. And then as I was reliving it, the memory started triggering. The 1996 NHL playoffs, it was Pittsburgh playing the Washington Capitals. And the series was 2-1 for Washington, and Pittsburgh was at home. So my brother and I, he's the other, my middle brother. Like I said earlier, I have two other brothers. My middle brother, he's the other T in the TNT. We both say to each other, there's no way Pittsburgh is going to go down 3-1 in this series because they were playing at home. The line was high. It was around minus 200. Or 1.5 for decimal odds. So back in 1996, we were just university students and we had the money an average university student would have, which is not much. So our average wager around that time probably was maybe $50. I don't know exact amount, but it's exponentially larger. I think it was around $800 to win $400. So we were risking $800 to win $400 because Pittsburgh was, you guessed it, quote, unquote, a lock. I hate when I hear that in the industry. Everybody says I have a lock, a 10-star lock, a 5-star lock, play of the year, play of the century, whatever it is. That's all BS. It doesn't work like that. So we put the wager in, and obviously we're going to watch the game. My oldest brother is a big hockey fan, so all three of us watch the game. My older brother does not gamble at all, so he's different, just put it that way. So he was telling us, because he's Mr. Righteous, he was telling us that we're greedy idiots. So obviously he's right, but we didn't care. So we told him to be quiet, just support us. And the game, honestly, the game was ridiculously stressful. Washington, of course, because we put Pittsburgh at a high, heavy favorite, Washington goes up 2-0. That can't be good. That wasn't good for our stress levels. But we're trying to comfort, me and my brother were trying to comfort each other, like, don't worry, they're going to come back. And again, our older brother in our ear telling us how dumb we are for being that irresponsible. So fortunately, Pittsburgh, and I did a little bit of research on this, Pittsburgh scores late in the second period to give us some hope. So now going into the third period, it's 2-1 for Washington. At the 8-minute mark of that third period, Pittsburgh scores on a power play to tie up the game. So we have some relief, but it's not comfortable. To give you an idea of how uncomfortable it was, And even if you're a hockey fan and you're in the playoffs watching a game, watching your team play, it's stressful when the puck is in your team's zone. All you want to do is for your team to dump it out so you could breathe a little bit. That's how it felt for us watching the game. Every time the puck was on in Pittsburgh's zone, it was tough. We felt relieved just for the puck to be dumped out of the zone. Anyway, the game goes to OT. And we had class early in the morning the next day, so we were trying to take naps during the 15-minute intermission, but it's hard to nap when your heart's racing. So the first overtime comes and goes, still 2-2. We're obviously still stressed. We're still trying to nap during each intermission. And in the second overtime, I forgot about this until I did some research, and then I remembered what the case was when we were actually watching the game. Joey Juno, for all you OGs, old schoolers, Joey Juno gets a penalty shot. And me and my brother are hovering over each other, heart racing, basically biting each other's nails, talking about how stupid we are. We're going to lose all this money. And that's a lot of money for university kids. Thankfully, Ken Reggett saves the penalty shot, so we dodge a bullet. But it's getting later and later. We want to go to sleep, but there's no way we're going to sleep until this game's over. Third OT. They went into triple overtime. Still nothing. It's past midnight, closer to 1 a.m. We just want this game done. So onward to the fourth OT. And again, every time the puck was in Pittsburgh's zone, we hold our breath. That's just the nature of a gambler. They go through these emotional roller coasters. So in that fourth OT, we catch a break when Washington takes a penalty late in the overtime. Pittsburgh didn't really do anything with the power play until the very end. There's about 45 seconds left in the game, and Nedved takes a shot, scores. We go nuts. So we thought we were going to be going into the fifth OT, but they scored with 44 seconds left. We go crazy, and we're jumping up and down. My older brother's telling us we're idiots. We're lucky idiots. And me and my other brother were like, I said to him, I told you it was a luck. And we just had a nice little chuckle. But that story should be a lesson in money management. If we had proper money management, we're not stressing like that. We're not putting ourselves through that. So if you don't have proper money management, you will be a long-term loser. I'm telling you now, it's inevitable. So if you're young and you're listening, be smart, be calculated. Like I said earlier, have a fun money account if you want that rush to put a lot of money on a game. And then once you set that fun money aside, if it's gone, then you wait till the next year to set another roll aside for that. And the money management you use depends on your win rate. We have different money management systems based on the win rates that we see, that we track, but that comes with experience, and it takes time to come up with the right balance. And just to give you an example, just so I introduce it, there's some money management systems we use. I won't delve into it too deeply, because if you follow us as the sports startup, you're going to see how it works via the spreadsheets that I'm going to share. So one of the money management system we use is called the Labby system, short for Labouchere system. You can Google it if you want to know a little bit more. Or again, you can get in touch with me on Twitter or IG, and I can explain more. I'm happy to explain. So with a Labby system, you need about a 42% win rate to be successful. We set out a grid of 10 lines. Each line is a series. It takes roughly about a month on average to close 10 lines. And that would be 2% of your allocated units for that system. So it sounds a little bit complicated. Like I said, we're going to put it out as we go. So one of the Labby systems we use is for a baseball system called K-Gun. We pick one game. It's based on the Kelly Criterion formula. And we use the Labouchere money management system. Labby for short. Another money management system we use is called the FIB system. Basically, in this money management system, you have to win 2 out of 3 games. FIB is short for Fibonacci. If you're not familiar with the Fibonacci sequence, the next number in the sequence is the sum of the previous two. So if you lose a game with this money management system, you move up the sequence. If you win a game, you move down. If you win the first game of the series, then the series is closed. However, if you lose, you move up. And to close a series, you got to win 2 out of 3. So let's say I start off with a $10 bet in the sequence. It loses. The next bet will be $20. If that loses, the sum of the previous two. So your next wager is going to be $30. If that loses, you guessed it, 30 plus 20. Your next wager will be $50. You're on a major losing streak. Nothing's going well. If that $50 bet loses, your next bet would be $80. Let's say you finally get a win. So after a win, we would move down. So in that sequence, in that series, we're not done that series because we got to win 2 out of the last 3 bets to close the series. Right now, we have 1 bet that we won. So the next bet we move down would be $50. So if we win that bet, we would close the series. Let's say we lose that bet, you go back up to $80. Follow, bear with me here. I know it sounds a little bit confusing, but we move up the sequence. Let's say we win that $80 bet. That's it. We won the series because we won 2 out of the previous 3 bets. So if you take that particular sequence, we lost 5 games. We won 2 games. And assume you have an average odd at about 1.9 or minus 110. Basically, we hit 40% win rate and we pretty much break even in that sequence. How? Well, we lost our $10 bet, $20 bet, $30 bet. We lost 2 $50 bets. There's your 5 losses. And we won 2 $80 bets. So we lost 150. We won 160. Given the juice, roughly you break even. So you hit 40% in that series and you break even. I think that's fantastic. So that was a bit of a mouthful. There are some other money management systems that we have, such as Babag, which is called, considered Bank a Bid and Grow. I'm not going to get into that. Speak about it in later episodes. Just want to give you a little rundown here. And in the previous episode, I spoke about a sneaky doubling system. That's like a Babag type of money management. We have also a 3x30. Basically, you have 3 cycles of 30 bets. And once you do that, you will double your unit allocation. So these are just some ideas that we like to generate to give our bankroll the respect it deserves. So when the losing streaks happen, and they inevitably will, we're calm and collected. That's the whole point. So we avoid that stupid 1996 NHL playoffs scenario. It's not for us anymore. Not letting our emotions run rampant is where we want to be. And I cannot envision betting in that fashion and it being enjoyable. It's too much happening. It's such an emotional roller coaster that it really isn't fun. And you really do, depends how deep you get into it, you really do become abusive. If you're on a massive losing streak, maybe you owe the wrong people money. That can happen too. So this is a way to save yourself. So I think that's all I have for today. Again, if you want to connect, if you have a story to share, look me up on Twitter at DavidTNT3 or Instagram at TNT Sports Investments. Maybe if you have a stressful but funny story, again, we can share it in future episodes. I think that will be a fun way to engage a little bit with the audience. And on that note, that's it for me. So good luck out there, and may all your wagers be winners.